Blog Talk Radio.
Kennedy, you know what, Miguel, before we get started tonight,
sure,
let's talk just a little tiny bit about politics. We don't like to talk about politics, but it is important to mention we got a new governor now, Jerry Brown. I expect no changes at all. He's from the old machinery, so I expect no changes. I miss Arnold Schwarzenegger already, though. I like the fact you and I could catch him at the Hard Rock Cafe. We could catch him up at the House of Blues every now and then. Jerry Brown's governor. I think it's going to be just politics as usual. My wife cared for Meg didn't sell me on nothing. I don't know if Jerry Brown's going to help us. I think it's going to be politics as usual. But, you know, I hate the fact we got to vote for the lesser of two evils. Why can't we get some honest politicians to run some clean ads and stop smearing themselves,
well,
you know?
We got to, personally that I know, you know, you remember my friend Matt owns a junkyard over there, buying gallons?
Oh, yeah.
New mayor of Carlsbad.
No, I didn't know that.
Yes,
the old mayor of Carlsbad, Bud, was there for like
25 years.
Yeah, 25, 20.
He endorsed Matt, and Matt got 57% of the vote.
Well, outstanding like that. Meanwhile, you and I got a great mayor in Oceanside, thank God. Let's keep him here forever, we hope. He's going to sit down and talk to us correctly, respectfully with that. Forget the politics, bullshit, and all that. Again, everybody in California know Jerry Brown's mayor, governor, we expect no change. He doesn't care about the bikers. He don't care about nothing. He cares about big business, and that's where all the politicians are.
Right.
But
you know, it's like I'm looking at the chat. Art's in the chat, and he asked how our Halloween go. Mine went pretty good.
Why the hell did Art show up?
Yeah.
Why didn't he show up?
What happened to 12-inch pumps, Art? In the wig. But that's another story.
We talk to him later. Get him on, okay?
Yeah, that's another story.
Invite him to a party, didn't even show up. What's
wrong
with that?
Let's see if we can get him to call in.
What a wuss. Yeah, I heard somebody talking about Art the other day. They said he has so many new friends, he didn't have time for his old friends.
Yeah,
that's what I heard.
That's what I heard.
I don't know if that's true or not, Art, but, you know.
That's what I heard. I mean,
you know, one way of you.
Yeah.
Invite him to a party, don't show up.
Yeah. I mean, the concert and everything was good over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Nice crowd, nice turnout.
What's the venue?
It was the... I forgot at the top of my head.
The club? Nightclub?
Yeah, it was a nightclub deal, but what it was, I'll tell you right now what it was, but they had a bunch of heavy metal stuff, you know?
Yeah, the hard.
You know, Kale's been sending me the pictures from the Uproar Tour and all that stuff, and...
Irvine Amphitheater, that was the one a couple weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, you couldn't make that one, but it was great. And then right now, you know, they're going to have their toy run on the 5th of December. And
well, what's happening before that, though?
Well, Rusty's going to have an open house at his place. And they're going to have, it's on November 21st. Sunday, so we already made arrangements. We're going to ride up together.
That's solid, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to ride up together.
A few of our guests, a few of our friends.
Right.
You know.
I mean, okay, here's what the flyer says. It's, join us November 21st, Sunday, see the incredible Chopper Creations by T-Rod and Rusty. And if you guys haven't seen it, I'll put the link up in the chat room and go look at their pieces. It's a pretty nice ship.
I see our good friend Pete Allen up there. Photography's going to be showing up.
Right.
He's quite an elaborate photographer thing.
Yeah, it's, and just like with anything else Rusty does, you know, with an open house or whatever, it's a kid-friendly event.
You know, an interesting thing I want to point out. Do you know who Rusty's next-door neighbor is?
Go for it.
You know, as soon as I said that, it went right out my... Jason Brittany. There you go. Well, now, Jason Brittany's got that TV show on where he does all the stunt riding. He's one of the sport bike riders. Right next door to Rusty, so you can see two different styles of motorcycle. Jason Brittany is a...
he's up in...
Jason Britton.
Sorry, he's up in Canada right now.
He's
filming some stuff. We've been trying to get him on the show with his schedule. He's booked for a little while. So
he's going to be out of town when we're up there?
No, he should be there. He should be there for that.
I've emceed a few events when he's there. He is quite a showman. Very impressive.
Yeah, it's like, you know, they built that charity chopper.
Yeah.
For the Wounded Warrior Project. And
T-Rod Rusty.
Yeah, T-Rod and Rusty. It's the official. They were the official builders for FX Channel on the Sons of Anarchy charity crop chopper. To benefit the Wounded Warrior Foundation, which we know what that is. That's all servicemen and women.
The point to realize that Screwdriver and I are ex-military, former military, whatever you want to call us.
Right.
We think let's always take time to follow, you know, say hello to the vets.
Yeah, you get a chance to meet the crew, look at the bikes, ride into the show, and I guess they're going to have the ride-in. You're going to be judging whatever you ride in.
Okay.
They're going to have a little thing, and then they'll also have vendors. Mm-hmm. But it'll be on Sunday, the 21st of November, from 10 to 4.
Good.
So we'll head up that way about 8 or so.
Just want to ask 8 or so. Anybody listen to us, though, Bill Kennedy ain't getting up no damn 8 o'clock in the morning. I can hang out with you till 8 o'clock and then go home, but I can't get up that time.
Hello, Art. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Not bad. Bill and I were waiting for you to show up at the wig and the 12-inch pump. We had a bet if you were going to wear a thong or a skirt.
Man, we had 100 people up there. I looked for you, but a lot of people didn't take their costumes off, so I wasn't sure if you showed up or not.
Well, I ran into a problem. I tried on the outfit, and the women were flocking me. I had to get rid of it. I couldn't get out of the neighborhood.
But you got to cut back on that drinking.
I'm telling
What's
you,
going
but
on?
I don't know
how you
handle it. I'm doing good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember if I sent you the flyer for the event at Rusty's, but I'll send it again. It's going to be on the
21st. Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's going to be on the 21st, and then we're going to have, we're doing a couple of poker runs, and then we're doing the Toys for Todd. And Toys for Todd, Bill, just so people understand, that's the Goldwing Riders. And when we had
it's the open guys, to all motorcycles.
It's open to all motorcycles.
It's the only all motorcycle run I go to all year. Last year, 1,000 motorcycles left Oceanside Harbor and drove 35 miles to Casino Palma.
Right.
It's nice riding around with them. I like hanging out with the Honda Goldwing Riders because you go there, they got breakfast ready, they got donuts and milk, everything's lined up. Good organization, you get to the end. They're not like us at all, you know, they're just organized.
Right.
We're just kind of fever our pants type flying.
People shoot from the hip. But the other thing I was going to talk about, Bill, and Art, I'm going to read the email you sent me, but H.A. backs down to Sachs Designers. I guess, what's the name of it? Alexander McQueen settles with the Hells Angels by agreeing to destroy merchandise with skull logos. Just 8 days after filing the lawsuit over McQueen's designs featuring the Biker Club's trademark name and Death Head skull logo, they settled with the fashion house as well as retailers Saks Fifth Avenue and Zappos.com, and quite a cost to the three companies.
Well, you know, let's talk about reality. These people... They put their lives into it in many cases, but they put blood, sweat, and tears. It's their organization, and I'm not defending them this time out of respect or anything. I'm defending them because it's their organization. We wouldn't want anybody to put Screwdriver and Bill. Well, actually, you and I don't care.
No,
you're gonna do it to us.
Yeah.
But these guys have been around for so long, and they put many of their brothers lost their lives for this symbol. So I think you have no right to take somebody else's symbol. It's like you and I taking Chevy.
Right.
You know, what the hell? What right have we got to do that? Respect other people's property, or you will get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So, Art, you know you're invited. You're going to be invited next year again, so I'll give you an early invitation, okay?
Okay, I'm going to have to make it.
All right.
Okay.
You coming over to the Toys for Tartan Oceanside?
I'll probably cruise up that way. I don't know if I'll ride it. Is that on Sunday?
Saturday. I don't. Let's start for a couple of weeks.
Well, let me give you a rundown real quick, Art. We're gonna have.
Okay.
We're involved with a. It's called the Sammy Center, and they're having a 2,000 attendance. Their poker run, and what it is, it's the Military Hospital Relief Program to support the military families of special needs children.
Let me stop you for a second.
Sure.
You're active military, and you have an injury, they take you right away. If you're a dependent, sometimes they get a few hoops to jump through while the husband's overseas. And all we're trying to do at this point in time is give these people a chance to get more direct aid. Now, that's going to be going on November 13th, a Saturday, in Vista. I'd like to invite you on that 80-mile tour of North County. I did not set this up. In fact, I'm a little concerned because it's five bars, a poker run with five bars. Now, I'm not trying to be prudish here. I think five bars, people get lost.
Yes.
You have one bar and one bar at the end of a poker run, and people show up the last bar and spend a couple hours. Five bars is, I think that's stretching. And I mentioned that. They won't do that next year, I don't believe.
No.
Okay, we're going to be on that one, Art. And what's next?
The next one is, I'll send you copies of these, Art. And then the
okay.
next one
no.
is going
Good.
To. Okay, and then the next one is going to be the Toys. No, the Toys for Tots. This is going to be the,
Toys for Tots. That's what we're talking about in OSHA. So you're talking about another Toys for Tots.
Right.
Okay, where's that one at?
Right.
Hang on.
You talking about the toy run with the booze fighters?
No, that's another one.
Okay.
That's another one.
And the toy run with the Vietnam vets. So the toy run for the Res Riders. And it goes on and on and on.
Right.
We have one going on in our shop called the Big Cover-Up.
Right.
You ever heard of that one, Art?
Definitely. Definitely.
Oh, good, because we collect blankets and socks, and we collect a large amount of clothing. We give it to Brother Beano's in North County and St. Vincent de Paul in San Diego. A big party in my shop. Looking forward to trying to make that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's one coming up, and I don't have the date. I'll have to look it up and get it for you, and it's where they go to the VA hospital, and they
That's
bring stuff
the
in and go
fighters.
Visit the guys.
That's the booze fighters.
Yeah.
That's
the booze fighters one, yeah.
Now, in
That's
the past, there's a
small
doing. Problem with that one because the Solo Angels in Tijuana, they have a toy run in the morning, and I'd get down there like Saturday night, spend Saturday night in Tijuana, do their run in the morning. On the way home to the VA hospital, I'd try to make the booze fighters. So, you know, like we're going to be social butterflies.
Right.
That's why you had a knife flipping off a lot.
Right, because this Toys for Tots one is on November 20th. And it's that one they always have down at the harbor in the parking lot.
1,000 motorcycles last year.
Yeah, in parking lot number one. By the time the last bikes got out, they were already at 15, and they had everything blocked. And we had the guy on last week. He was talking about it, and they're gonna have the police escort, the CHP, and all that stuff.
Hey.
And then the next one is going to be let's see.
Cover-up next? I don't know now.
Yeah, I think the cover-up one is next. It's,
In San Diego local, well, he's looking it up there. The Booze Fighters have a blackjack run in San Diego Harley-Davidson this weekend. I may make the final destination of that one. I don't want to. After a while, I get burnt out doing poker runs. I don't give a shit. We live in San Diego. We know all the streets. I'm not out for
right.
any social thing.
Yeah, the Big Cover-Up one is on Sunday, December 12th, 2010. It's a Rain or Shine event.
Oh.
That's the one in front of your place, Bill.
Yeah.
Okay, Cover-Up on 12-12.
Yeah. It's going to be it starts at 9 at San Diego Harley. They leave there at 11:30. Registration starts at 9 and then rides up to Bill's, Kennedy's Custom Cycles. Donations will benefit the homeless through St. Vincent de Paul's and Brenner Benno's. And then they called me and asked me about going to places around to put up flyers. So I told the guy, well, talk to Bill because that's where it's going to be. And then he didn't realize that I was talking about Bill Kennedy.
I got no respect anywhere.
And he sent me an email that he went up and talked to Bill the next day. But that's the way, you know. The other one is those 801 guys out of Temecula, Bill. They're having that Freedom Isn't.
They're growing. They're growing seriously like wildfire. Those guy club is growing.
Yeah. They got that one Freedom Isn't Free poker run. It's this Saturday, November 6th.
And you and I will not be at that one because we have a funeral to go to.
Right.
One of the Solo Angels out of Mexico is dead. You and I will be at that funeral.
Right. The sign-in is from 10 to 11:30 at Texas Louvre. And then once everything gets down there, they will let you know where they're going and what they're doing for the poker run.
But, you know, that's a nice picture of a good-looking girl in that poster there.
Yeah, but that tattoo kills it.
Well, yeah, I don't think women are supposed to have guys' tattoos in their arms. But
no, that's her neck, Bill.
Is that the tattoo?
Yeah. And then the other thing is... Okay, this is something I want to talk about, Bill. This guy here, this is a story out in New York. The DMV took the guy's motorcycle, Bill.
All right, share with me. Do share with me why.
Because they said it wasn't his bike.
Well?
Here's what happened. DMV wrongly accused an individual, and the guy's name is Mike Willing of Adriatic Seafood in Hudson Falls, New York, with a felony for having a motorcycle with its identification number missing or removed after this individual was arrested in front of his employees and incarcerated. He was later exonerated by a judge when records and vehicle identification documents verified to be legit.
Yeah.
They verified it, but they refused to give him the bike back. It was a 1981 with 73 Ironhead customized Harley, even after the judge issued an order for the DMV to return the property to its rightful owner. Instead, the Attorney General of New York filed legal action against the judge in an attempt to rescind the order. In a process quite like extortion, with no regard for the citizen's civil and constitutional rights, nor the legal process, it seems that citizens now face the same administration regime process suffered by prisoners fighting for rights.
Okay, let's talk about it for a second now. We're talking about a 1981 motorcycle with a 73 motor. So the frame, got one set of numbers. The motors got a different set of numbers. So if he took the motor out and put it in a different frame, somewhere in life there's another motor in another frame. So in essence, there could be two motorcycles with the same numbers, except one of them would have the frame number. So that's what happened.
Here's where they went with that one.
I haven't read it yet, but go ahead.
Here's where they went with that one.
I understand the DMV.
The DMV not only wanted to affix a new VIN number to Mike's bike, but before he was allowed to retrieve it, but they also affixed that very condition under which they held the bike in their possession, citing a section of law which was proven to be not applicable to Mike's case as the original owner of the motorcycle. He was the original owner.
And he changed the frame.
Right. He was heard in Queensbury Town Court yesterday, and after a lengthy hearing with testimony from DMV's lawyer and witnesses, DA's office, and Mr. Willie's attorney, along with some ridiculous objections by the DMV lawyer, Mike was finally able to retrieve his bike from DMV's possession. However, this was not a full victory for Mike, as his bike was not returned in the same condition which it was seized. He no longer has the original VIN number, which has been his major concern in this matter, as the VIN number determines the class and value of the bike. Upon examining the bike outside the courthouse, Mike discovered that the original numbers had been ground down to the extent that the numbers are ineligible. Nevertheless, he's grateful and relieved that his motorcycle is back in his possession on his own property. The question of whether DMV is in contempt of court for not returning the motorcycle without condition after the original court order was issued will be determined at a future date.
Okay, what happened here was the DMV was so sure they had this slam shut case, they took the second set of numbers off. Now, again, we actually were talking about a motorcycle changed the frame. Somewhere there was his motor and his frame number were matched. By switching the frame, he has a different set of numbers. The DMV says, in essence, there could be two motorcycles with the same numbers on there. This is the problem they have. They were so sure of slamming, they destroyed the man's property.
Right.
Let's take this one step more before we go on to the next subject. He has a 1984. I forgot the numbers already. You changed your sheet on me. But when he gets his motorcycle back, it's going to be a 2010 special constructed vehicle.
Right.
The value of his motorcycle is that it's a Harley-Davidson. And now, unfortunately, 1981 with a 73 Ironhead motor. Now he's going to get a 2010 SPCN, Special Constructed Motorcycle, which has no resale, Most insurance companies will not insure it, and never mind the resale. People just don't want a vehicle like that because it's a what? Well, it looks like a Harley. It's
right.
Tough.
Well, here's the kicker to this, Bill. Following the court hearing, another man approached DMV officials to present his own case of discrimination. This guy's name is Bill Pelton of Everell Park, New York. He was stopped at a roadblock on his way to Amjam back in May of 2009 for a broken taillight, but was detained while law enforcement officials broke, not asked if they could look in his trailer, broke into the trailer to inspect the contents, which included two of Bill's motorcycles. Again, officials claimed the VIN numbers were not valid, despite Mr. Pelton holding the title and unnecessary documents to prove otherwise. They confiscated both motorcycles, and after 12 months, actually sold both bikes at auction with no notice to him. Apparently, these are not isolated incidences, as it seems it's a pattern to this activity by DMV.
That's correct, yeah. All right, I can still point there. So give me the rest of what you got here before I start going on.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Except for it's certainly going to be a long and difficult fight for justice.
The probable cause to be stopped was there was a problem with the taillight, right? We understand that. That's one thing.
Well, they always say there's a problem with the taillight.
I've been asked, and I turn around and I say to them, it's working. They say, it was intermittent problem. It's not working now, or it is working now. When we stopped, it wasn't working. I was stopped a couple of years ago, and they opened my saddlebags. I asked them, what are you doing? I did not give you permission to open my saddlebags.
Mm-hmm.
The cop told me, you did not give me permission. I understand that. If I find anything illegal, I'm going to take it down to the station house. You can tomorrow come down and claim your illegal property should you wish.
Right.
And I said, if I don't, well, in that case, we got some more drugs or guns off the road. He had no concern for my rights or nothing. He was just so sure I had something legal in there. He was going to go in and finally took my case. It was nothing. A friend of mine did have a gun, and it was confiscated, and it was a mess. But they're thinking it's better to say I'm sorry than ask for that old saying like that, you know?
Right. You know, it's getting worse, Bill. I mean, you know, what happened for me last week with everything getting dismissed is only because I did my homework. I mean, all you got to do is just do your homework. When you know how to use their rules
and their language,
they get you strike a chord.
Yeah.
Just like they, you know, it's just like
you throw you out. You throw them off base. And how do we deal with this guy? He knows what he's doing.
I mean, when I looked over there and I heard the judge say, what do you mean you're not prepared?
After you authorize an extension.
Right.
They wanted more time. You didn't have to give it to them. You authorized the court to give them the extension. Extension time came up, and they still did not have it.
Absolutely. And then they sent me the stuff with the wrong date on it before the date I gave me extension.
Yeah.
And then the stuff she sent was all the stuff that it was all the wrong stuff anyway.
Let's face it, in California, and I'm sure many states out there, all they expect you to do is pay the fine.
Right.
And those people out there like Screwdriver that are just toe the line, they don't have to deal with people like that.
Well, you know, it's just like the day I got the ticket, Bill, and I walked in and I talked to you. You know, the first thing you said to me after hello was, why don't you just pay the ticket?
It made sense to me. You've now got a lifelong crusade for truth and justice and freedom. But that first day you came in, it was one lousy ticket.
Yeah.
I said, pay it.
Right.
And look, you've taken it over your whole life. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you paid a price.
Right.
Never mind the money. Let's talk about time and all
I
that.
I mean, the money. I'm only $100. They spent $73,000.
Yeah. But it's a commitment you're willing to make, and most people won't, and that's the sad part about it.
99 out of 100 is send the money.
Yeah. The day off court, my boss won't understand. I lose so much money. Some people just say it's easy to pay the ticket. But there are people like you, and we are finding people like you that are willing to stand up and be counted. Not a lot, but a little here, a little bit there. Maybe as we grow later, they'll grow some more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Phil?
We've had some great people back there on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Betsy. You know, we've been a lot of great people out there that have been doing the same thing. Maybe they're small in numbers, but they're giant in stature. They're letting the people know what's going on. So.
Right.
I'm very proud to say I know that girl.
Yeah. It's like, Art, you got any comments on any of that?
Yeah, I sent you an email about a guy that got into an argument with a parking officer.
Right.
And he drove off, and actually the guy called him out, wanted to fight him, the parking officer. got his buddy on the radio, and they wrote him a ticket for parking in a handicap spot.
Right.
And mailed it to him. Mailed it to him, held it long enough so that it was too late to do anything, and it doubled the fine because he was late paying for it.
Right.
And he fought it, and they actually went in, and they found where the guy that wrote the ticket was like 10 miles away and had written a ticket on another car 5 minutes before that, and then within a few minutes wrote a ticket on another car in that same area.
Mm-hmm.
But they wrote the ticket for a whole different part of town, and the only reason he beat it was because, like you say, he went in and argued.
Right.
So you can't ever just take them at their word. You've always got to read it and challenge it.
Right. And, you know, it says the guy got suspended for 2 days, but that does not compare the cost to the citizen or involved or victimized. I mean, Can you imagine, Bill? Okay, you're the parking guy. Now, this guy's nickname is Muscles. What does that tell you?
Yeah, you create a stereotype right there.
Right there. So, you know, even though he called the guy's name is Mandrill, even though he called him a meter maid and told him to get a real job, the guy got pissed. So he's, you know, like Art was saying, the guy drove off and forgot about it. 7 days later, he received a second parking ticket in the mail.
Well, you know, it was such a system that I want to mention. I was in Oslo, Norway for a bike run, and started off on a bad day because they put the wrong chip in my telephone. So I was trying to reach certain people in Oslo, and I couldn't reach them. So I started pulling bikers over left and right, trying to say, I need information to get to this, blah, blah, blah. And these people saying, we don't know nobody. All right. I rented a car because I couldn't find this club to get this motorcycle. I went downtown Oslo. I parked it for a second because I was trying to use the phone. I didn't think nothing of it. It was one of those, like a camera. It took a picture of me parked in an illegal area. I went back to America. The car rental people gave me another charge. So I contacted them. I said, what is this for? Norway took the picture of the rental car.
Mm-hmm.
I had the rental car because I couldn't get the motorcycle. They demanded that the rental car people add the money onto it, and I had to pay for it. No choice whatsoever. So,
no, you're not getting
it. It's a system. It's a system.
Yeah, you're not getting
it. I was in the wrong place. I didn't read the sign. I needed the telephone. It happened, but they made the car rental people take the money away from my plastic card.
From your charge card?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, like it's getting worse. I mean, I don't know if you saw, but Oceanside just got another grant for $157,000 to do more motorcycle profiling.
I hadn't heard that. That's always good to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the day I walked in, right after I went to court and I got out of court, I drove to, I rode over to the station, and I walked up to the counter. What can I do for you today, Mr. My Last Name? And then when I told him what I wanted, he made 7 phone calls and nobody answered the phone. So he got up and he went and got one of the guys Bill and I talked to in the meeting, in the IA meeting. And he was pissed. He had to sign the paper.
You know, one of the secrets to my having peace and serenity here in Oceanside is on the back of my helmet, it says, the other guy is screwdriver. So they never pull me over.
All that love. All that love.
Oh, I'm not that guy.
Throw
them
under the bus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I was at a meeting up in Sacramento, and I was talking to a guy up there, and he's involved in a lot of different things. And he said right now the CHP are rewriting the helmet law and something about 1 inch of foam and all this other crap, like some of these other states have tried to pull.
Right.
Trying to cite something, but it doesn't say anywhere in the standards that you're supposed to be 1 inch of foam, but they're trying to start that. So
right.
be aware that you may want to start looking. If the law comes out, you know, they'll always tell you there's no excuse if you don't know it.
Right. You know, it's like Bill and I, we bounce back and forth with our helmets just to see what's going to happen. You know, I wear a full face, and they've been pulling me over with the full face on, telling me to take it off. They want to see my face. But I, like Bill, have one where you grab the clip at the bottom, and the whole front folds up so they can see your face. So the first time they tried that one on me, the guy said, what are you, a smartass? I told you to take off the helmet. I said, no, you said you wanted to see my face. He didn't like that too much.
Maybe he didn't like your face.
I don't know. I really didn't give a fuck.
Again, maybe he found you attractive.
You never know.
Hey.
I mean, they got their own crosses to bear. You got guys riding around town with DUIs carrying a gun and still driving a car.
Yeah, remember when I got stopped a while back, I switched that full helmet, and they pulled me over, and I let the helmet, I have long gray hair, put the full face off, my gray hair fell off, and they go, oh, Mr. Kennedy. I said, what'd you stop me for? He said, well, he was trying to find probable cause now. He said, you were speeding. I said, okay. I was in the slow lane. How fast was I speeding?
You were doing 36 and a 35.
Can you believe that? But we're not going to write you a ticket, Mr. Kennedy. We didn't know it was you and blah, 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 blah. They just needed a probable cause. He couldn't think of anything quick enough.
Nope.
A mile, come on. Give me a, in the slow lane, too. They still pulled me over. But we won't stop riding our bikes, no matter what they say.
No matter what they say.
They pass a law tomorrow, one red tennis shoe, one blue tennis shoe. It's okay to me. I will not stop no matter what they say.
Yeah.
But we got the Tijuana Toy Run coming.
As soon as they get the details, it's supposed to be the flyer.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be...
I think that's the one that's going to overrun to the Boost Fighters via hospital run.
Right. And then we just got a message from Canada saying we're funny guys. Come to BC, we'll rock.
Canada, huh?
Yeah, that's from Harley.
Okay. Canada.
I've been up through there. That's some beautiful country.
Did you ride your bike to get up there?
No, I took the truck. I took the wife, and we drove up to Alaska.
They do not. They do not like bikers in Canada. Crossing that border, you better have your money in a row. You better have this. You better have this. You better have a plan. My brother just came back, and he and his bunch of his crew, they were there a good 45 minutes. I know my first trip to Canada, I had to have, this is going back a day now, $200 cash. Don't have credit cards then. They wouldn't let me in there unless I had $200 cash.
Right.
My brother's there for 45 minutes. Where are you going? What's your route and all this? I'm just sightseeing. Canada's a tough place for bikers, guys.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like...
I wonder how the women are in Canada. Hmm.
And we'll find out. We might get an answer here real soon.
Yeah.
But
maybe we got a friend up in Canada that might want to call us into something, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
We had somebody call in for that, though, and was afraid to go on the air.
Oh, come on.
I mean, I told her it wouldn't hurt.
Come on.
Yeah, I told her it wouldn't hurt.
She should try to make herself more comfortable. Maybe, like, take her clothes off, relax, and
put
speak
her feet
to
up,
us.
Smoke a doob.
You know, relax.
You know,
talk to
like
us.
That.
We're friendly people.
Yeah. You know, it's like we're getting people from all over the world. We're up in Finland.
Yes.
We have
very good friends in Finland.
Right.
Mexico City is going the other direction. Yeah.
Right. I just friended one of the guys that was here for... We pick up some bikes in Germany, and I don't know, just a lot of things going on at once, and like you said, not enough time to do it. And, you know.
It is. I like to be more events. I try to make as many as I can, and the ones I miss, everybody calls it, well, we're hoping you'd show up. Hey, guys, listen. We make as many as we can. Sometimes I have to make two in the same day. It's just stretching
right.
me out a little bit.
Yeah, it's just stretching myself.
Thank God I got a Dynaglide. I mean, I'm running as fast as I can, but still, it's wearing me out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was taken off for, today, in case anybody's listening, my brother Mike Kennedy's birthday is today. I have no idea how old he is, but still. Anybody listen?
Yeah, his was today. My son Brian's is the 14th, and mine's Thursday the 18th this month. Yeah, and then my sister, hers is on the 11th.
How's your niece doing, by the way?
She's doing great, Bill. The medicine's working, and she's
Want to tell everybody what she's fighting against?
She has a tumor on the left side of her skull, inside, and it's goes from the front of her skull. In other words, Bill, if I took and shaved your head, and I put a golf ball at the base of your neck to make a hole in one in the front, just above your eyebrow,
mm-hmm.
that's where the tumor is.
Okay.
That's how big it is.
You want to point something out? Just use your words. Don't be touching my head again with your hands like that. I don't want this.
I know. I've seen your eyes light up. You turn blue on me.
And you chicken out, man.
Yeah. So we're gonna bring in an AR. We're gonna bring in another caller. So hang on. Hello, Charlie.
Cool.
Charlie.
Yeah, but if he don't know anything about you or that, we'd be going there.
I think I'll have to send Charlie a message in the chat.
Well. Hey, Art, you ever gone down to Tijuana Toy Run?
Yeah, I've gone down a few times.
Do you go down Saturday night to the Solo Angels Clubhouse for the party, or do you go down Sunday morning for the run itself?
No, I went down Sunday morning. I had a friend that rode with the Solo Angels. He was patched in down that way. And we went down, did the toy run, and hung around down there a while.
These guys were exceptional friends of mine for 10 years when I was running around. Can you tell me who that guy's name is, please, that you knew down there?
Dustin.
Oh, Dustin. Okay.
You know Dustin.
Brandon and Dustin at the dealership. I hadn't heard from him in 10 years. He got married. Did you know that?
Yeah, I talk to him all the time.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know.
He's probably one of the best friends I have.
He said they were friends, though. You missed that part of the conversation or what?
Could be friends you haven't seen in a long time. Well, that's true. I never say you're my friend, so that's true.
But, I'm going to try Charlie again. Charlie, are you there?
Hey, what's up, bro? How you doing?
What's up, man? Everything all right in the background? It sounded like somebody was getting a little testy there. Me and Bill thought we'd have to send the police to save your ass.
Well, don't send those guys. They'll come with a SWAT team.
Hey, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'll just say, hey, Bill, how you doing?
Hey, buddy, I was kind of worried about that was domestic violence. And you know what? That's a personal sore spot to me because, you know, a guy works all week, has a few drinks, comes home and his wife's then bam, he hits her, you know, and bang, 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 and the police come, and then the fire trucks and the ambulance come, and I'm tired of seeing my brothers leaving the ambulance while the wives are all arrested for domestic violence. I was afraid that was happening to you. You're getting yourself beat up down there, buddy.
No, I don't know what you were hearing in the background, but it was nothing like that.
I have a good imagination, I guess.
No shit.
Now, we heard things knocking and dropping and banging, all kind of noise back there, seriously.
Oh, no, it might have been because we're standing in the kitchen. Like, when I hit you guys up in the chat, we literally just walked in the door. I've had the flu for a while, and Sonia hasn't been well, and we had to stop and get a prescription, and we just really walked in the door, and we're kind of clinking pots and throwing some stuff together.
Yeah, well, you know,
we're clinking the pots and pans together to cook something. We're not hitting each other with them.
Okay. Because let me tell you, if that woman's physically assaulting you, you have friends. You don't have to put up with that stuff, sir.
Hey, you better listen. My boys are coming back from California to kick your butt if you give me any more crap. I'm telling her right now.
Yeah, okay, here, clank. What was that? She hit me with a frying pan.
My boys.
We're going to go to, I seen her. She can hold her own. Some of yours. But
she's pretty
tough. I got
tough.
Your flyer. I'm going to give you a little build up here. Okay? Then you can run with it.
Cool.
Charlie got invited to with the help of Izzy out of London.
Yeah.
Matt or Dan was the guy's name. Charlie? Matt or Dan?
What's that? From who?
Matt.
It was Jay.
The guy doing the booking. Matt?
Oh, no, that's David. That's David.
David, okay. All right, David, they heard some of Charlie's music, and Charlie's going to be singing during Sonny's book signing in North Carolina.
Oh, great.
So
I see it up there.
He's going to be at 668 Churton Street in Hillsborough, North Carolina, and then it's Sunday, November 14th, noon until whenever, in City Limits.
Virginia.
Yeah, City Limits Tattoo. He's going to be running around the southern coast over there. But he's promoting.
No, we're
go ahead.
We're doing the 13th. They got both dates on that flyer, and we're doing the 13th in Hillsborough, and the 14th is in Virginia. But
okay.
Yeah, I'm coming in, and because I'm going to be, and because David Best, he's another brother that hooked up with us over our all the radio shows, you know, through Biker Lowdown and your show and all that, listening. He wanted me to come over there and play for a long time, so he set up all these gigs for me to come over to the Raleigh-Durham area. And this thing with Sonny just fell out of the trees because I just happened to be looking at Facebook with Sonny, and Sonny posted he was doing a book signing over there, and it just happened to be the dates that we're going to be there.
Right.
And then so what happened was is, you know, I just threw out a hello to our friends across the pond and said, hey, I'm going to be in town anyway. I would love to come out to the club where everybody's going to be, which is owned by, you know, a member.
Right.
And we're going to, and I have all my gear with me, so if you don't have any entertainment lined up, you might as well be me. And so I just got lucky. I just threw it out there, and they took a meeting on it, and, you know, it went through the channels, and I got the call, and so here we go, and I'm kind of excited. I'm really excited.
Yeah. And like I told you, like, don't be like Hermes, man. You just act like you're supposed to be there.
Oh yeah, man. I'm very humbled by the whole thing, and I'm very excited. I'm humbled and I'm honored by the whole thing because, I mean, there's a lot of guys that would love to go do that, and I was just fortunate that, you know, that they decided to let me come in and do that because I just, you know, this is one of them things where it's, to me it's an opportunity of a lifetime to be in such an intimate setting, you know, around and in, you know, in that environment. I'm really excited.
Right. You know, it's like there's a lot of, in the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of stuff going on with the club and a lot of negativity. And it shouldn't be because if 12 Marines got killed in Afghanistan, right, Bill?
All right.
And there was a stabbing and it had to be a biker, they would do a little research to find out who, what, where, when, and how. And if this guy just went to one party, he's a known associate or he's a full patch member.
Yeah, it's yellow journalism, though. It's what people want. You know, they don't. You know, I want to tell you something. A few years back, I was at an event with our mutual friend we're talking about down there, and this professional boxer and I don't know how it happened. First it started sparring, and then we went a little further, and the professional boxer was a sucker for an uppercut. And when this went on, when I delivered the uppercut, this gentleman, you're going down, his bodyguards come flying over. I had 10 people surrounded me. They thought it was a full-on war. Just sometimes, you know, you spar a little bit. You get a little fun. Don't, you know. Sad thing was, this is a true story. I'm 220 pounds. I'm 6'1". Professional boxer was 5'2". It was a girl. But I still think, no, this, and I'm not exaggerating. Listen. I'm an amateur. She's a boxer. You know what? Her fists are weapons, right?
Right.
She couldn't reach my chin. That's not the point. But I got to tell you, when she's one of the devil dolls.
Right.
Sid, I hope you're hearing this, Sid.
Right. We
you
might,
still can't hold against the uppercut.
We might have them on the show here.
Oh, God, still getting mad at me like that. Anyway, his bodyguards went absolutely crazy running over. Then they said, wait a minute. It's a pretty big guy fighting a girl. Hey. A girl's going to fight, she has to hold her own, right?
That's it. That's it, man. She's got to hold her own. And I tell you, for whatever reason, most of the ones I've run into pretty well do.
Yeah.
You know,
I ain't met none of those wimpy girls yet.
I think Sonya,
I got to tell you this story. Sonya, the other night, it was probably one of my good friends is a captain in the Marine Corps, and he came back from Pendleton. He'd been out there for a while, and, of course, when I was fortunate enough to spend a lot of time in California, which I haven't in the last year now, I would stay at his place out there off base, and anyway, he came back here and dropped off his Harley trailer because he has to deploy back to Afghanistan. I told you guys about him, I think. On one of the last shows because we just had a little party. Well, get back to the story about my girl here, Sonya. We were at this bar down here in Midtown where all the locals go, Nashville, and seeing him off and having a good time. And some guy who thinks he was some MMA fighter or something said that I insulted his girlfriend. And the next thing you know, I told him, well, of course, I had all I said to him was, I said, really, you think I insulted her? I said, well, you'll know when I do. And when I do, you know, fuck you, you know, pretty much. And sorry about that language. So then the guy gets all belligerent and obnoxious. So I've got a captain in the Marine Corps. I've got another ex-Marine sniper, former Marine sniper. I've got another master sergeant standing there who's got 30 years in the Corps. And I've got a couple other big biker guys. And this guy jumps up out of nowhere, and all of a sudden he wants to do a throwdown. Well, who steps up? Who steps up and says, get out of his face, Bisogna?
All right.
So it was to me, I'm standing there going, look at this woman. She, you know, Philip knows, man, she comes about to my chin, you know, and head high to my chin. And she's stepping up there just getting ready to just kill this guy. And you got all these Marines and these other guys standing there just going, are you serious? Is this crazy? But it was funny. It was funny. She was going to take that guy out.
You know what? When it comes down to it, that's when you respect somebody. Two of the people that Screwdriver and I ride with are former Navy SEALs, and I really like having them with me because they are so soft-spoken. You can't provoke them. You can't get them excited. If you're stupid enough to throw a swing, you'll be on the ground real quick. But these guys are absolutely, again, soft-spoken. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and
easy going, and the giants. You know?
And a few chicks they showed us.
Yeah.
But, like, to go north a little bit, out of Canada, this happened last the 27th of October. But it seems that one of Canada's most notorious criminals, but a leading expert on organized crime in the province, says the reported incident points to the diminished clout of the former kingpin, Maurice Mambocher. Officers confirmed that four inmates were involved in an altercation at the state and displaced penitentiary some 50 kilometers northeast of Montreal on Saturday. And they're tight-lipped on it. They don't want to say what happened. One of them refused to go to the hospital. The other one was transferred to the hospital in Laval. And we're investigating, of course, trying to determine what happened.
What that means is they're doing like they did to, you know, another, you know, member of a club that we know of that supposedly, once they got a hold of your computer, then what do they do? What their investigation means, they took all your shit and they're going to fill it up with a bunch of bad shit and then come back and charge you with planted evidence.
Yeah, because they're all saying now, you know, it suggests that he no longer holds the power and the protection he once had.
Yeah.
You know, he says they see him as a pale reflection of a gang leader he once was.
Well,
enough of sad stuff. Enough of sad stuff. Remember the movie The Alamo, the last one, where they had captured, who the hell's the guy that captured? He's supposed to be the last Alamo movie that came out. And instead of killing them all, they tied some up and they bayoneted them. Do you remember that?
Right.
I can't remember that last guy was right now. It's right tip. Bob?
Billy Bob. Thornton.
Billy Bob, yeah. Remember that? Charlie, remember that scene? The Alamo, Billy Bobby
tied up. I'm movie stupid, man. I really don't. The only TV I watch is a little bit of History Channel and some Fox News. And other than that, in movies, I hardly ever get into it. I miss out on a lot of great stuff.
Well, there's one line in that movie that I tell you, I crack up. They got him tied up. The Alamo's fallen, and they got some of the people, and they got him. And as they start to come forward, they're not going to shoot him. They're going to bayonet him. And Billy Bob says, "I got to warn you. I'm a screamer." A little humor before he goes down.
That's funny.
It's just,
that's Billy Bob.
I got to warn you, I'm a screamer. And then you see the bayonets coming down. But I don't know why. Sixth sense of humor, I guess, you know.
Crazy stuff. Hey, Philip, I talked to the Alpha Biker, man. He's coming down there. That's his stomping ground down there in North Carolina. That's where.
Okay, I heard that one before. We'll see if he shows up.
Well, he's only 3 hours away, so he's got little excuse. Plus, his family's right there, so it's pretty good.
And Matt, I hope he doesn't fall off that British bike. He's riding on the wrong side of the road again, but that's another story.
No kidding.
Just you to lighten up on all the bikes. We welcome all motorcycles.
Oh no,
you
no,
and
no,
I
no,
are
no,
lucky
no.
to have Harley.
I'm not talking about that.
Okay.
I'm talking about what happened when.
Oh, okay, so inside.
He bought a new bike.
Okay.
He bought a British bike.
I'm working very hard to acknowledge and accept all motorcycles. Except
well,
for Congress.
I think if I could own several bikes, I'd probably have a British one in my entourage, but I don't think it'd be, you know, my first choice to run out and grab, but I like them. I agree with Bill. I think, heck, you know, if whatever bike you got, man, if you're riding one, good for you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm gonna tell you guys, I'm gonna enlighten you guys on something real quick right here. This happened in fact, Harley Davidson is involved in this, and you're not gonna like this one, Bill, when you hear it. But right here. Now, here's the deal, Bill. What does that say?
Let me get my reading glasses.
Sure.
Oh shit! Harley to ship motorcycle kits to India. Just a second. Do we all know that our president has taken 3,000 of the SAF people to India for a tour, a little mini vacation? It's costing us, the taxpayers, millions and millions of dollars. Hope everybody reads about that. Millions of dollars so our president can go to India. But okay, what's this going on? We're going to send Harley's.
Okay. They posed for a picture atop of Harley Davidson in downtown Mumbai in 2009. Next year, Harley plans to begin sending motorcycle kits to India, where they will be assembled and then sold in the world's second largest motorcycle market. Maneuver avoids high tariffs, taxes on imported bikes.
All right, now.
Well, I mean, there is a business move involved with that, and I don't disagree because I was just about to say that it is the second largest motorcycle thing. But the business move also involves, you know, messing with a lot of, you know, our tax dollars and all the stuff. I was already, you know, heck, we're already off the curve with all these trips these guys are taking.
How about jobs going overseas again? I'm always on that.
They're doing it constantly.
Here's what they did. If everybody remembers, Harley's facing an overall weak demand, including among the U.S. buyers, in its third quarter earnings report. The company said its 2010 motorcycle shipments will be declined from 5% to 7% from 2009. But what they did was, in September, they won those steep concessions from the unions and agreed to keep its factories in Milwaukee and Tomahawk, saving about 1,350 jobs. But Harley anticipates eliminating about 200 blue-collar workers in Milwaukee by the end of 2012. In Tomahawk, they're going to lose 75 to 275 jobs and are anticipated to be eliminated at the plants that make the parts and accessories. They push for more nimble factories that can operate efficiently when sales are slow and can respond quickly to seasonal demands for bikes.
Yeah, but Harley Davidson is basically hypocrites because they're talking about doing all this stuff for the people in Wisconsin. They want to build new factories. They want to use non-union labor to make these buildings. What message are we sending out to the American public? Yeah, we're going to help you factory workers, but you workers that are building the building, we're not going to use union workers. That's a hypocrite, that's bullshit, and they should be called on it.
Right.
Well, not only that, Bill, but you got to look at this other side of the coin. Harley Davidson drove the prices sky high on a motorcycle to where it became unaffordable. But I'll tell you, in my experience of talking to folks, you know, in this part of the country, and over a period of years, not just, you know, recently, because I've had my own bad recent experiences in the past several, you go out there and you find, and I have found maybe one, and I'll mention who it is in a minute, you find a freaking Harley dealership that truly is on the up and up. These guys are, I don't want to use the word con man, but they're slick talkers. They everything's priced so freaking high, you don't want to go in there and spend your money on your repairs. And they don't deliver, their mechanics don't deliver because their mechanics aren't getting paid. They're getting paid a shit-ass wage to be a motorcycle mechanic that they have to go through a one-year course just to even be able to change your freaking oil.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, that's part of it is Harley's got a horrible rep. If, you know, if somebody from Harley's listening right now, they need to do like Howard Hughes did and go work for your company on the inside and figure out what's going wrong. Because what's going wrong is the dealerships are letting the people down. And the best dealership I found is in Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas, called Landers Harley Davidson. Those guys, man, are square, they're up and up, they're great people, and that's why they're one of the top 10 dealerships in the country. But everywhere else I've been...
Shop, but I want to point out, I tell everybody, if you're going to get your bike worked on, you need to buy something, you pull up to the shop, you go to the counter and say, excuse me, is your motorcycle outside? If the counter person says no, or the salesperson says no, find another shop. If that person is not riding a motorcycle, find another shop. That's how I feel
about it. Yeah, and I mean, the service has been terrible, and I'm telling you, it's the dealers, and it's corporate. So it gets back down to their standards, their way they do things, the way they push it through. And so it still comes down from the top. So I have no sympathy for Harley because they shoot their own selves in the foot. They're a name anymore. They're an iconic name, but they're not an iconic product again. Like they weren't an iconic product anymore back in the late 80s or late 70s, I'm sorry.
So you have a point there. We have given Harley this special pedestal. We put them on this pedestal. We did this, and the next generation, the young bikers, they may not put them on that pedestal.
No.
They may put something else on that, you know, electric motorcycle. I don't know what could be the next put on there, but we put them on. In the beginning, two people kept Harley alive, the bikers and the cops.
Right.
Yeah. And now they think they're so good, they forgot about us bikers. The bad boys, they forgot all about us. And we could take them off that pedestal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not out to get them because I like my Harley. I really do like it. But I've, you know, done what I needed to do to it to make me, you know, like it the way I do. But I don't take it to dealerships anymore to be worked on. I take it to, you know, good shops that I know that I can trust. And, you know, and I want to give my money to that guy because I know I'm feeding his family and I'm not giving it to a corporate setting where this guy's only making $12 an hour. To go in there and do all this hard work.
I'm going to tell you about 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, all authorized dealerships and independent shops in San Diego rode with me on runs. Now,
forget it.
One, two, that's the count. Custom shops and dealerships. All the rest of the owners tell me, no, Bill, we don't want to be out in public. We don't want to deal with customers walking up complaining about it. We insulate ourselves. We have managers to do that, Bill. We don't want to be in public. And I keep saying, that's where you're missing everything. I want to be at every run. Tell me about my my service manager. Tell me about my counter guy. Let me know what's going on. And the rest of these dealerships have just pulled back, and just they're not riders anymore, except for maybe two bike shops.
Man, as a musician, bike nights are classic for that because these dealerships throw their bike nights, and it might be at the local chicken wing bar. You know, it's a bar, and all the bikers will ride into that from this dealership in this side of town. And, you know, and I'll be down there, and I'll be playing, and I'll hear what you're saying right there. Somebody will come up and see the manager, you know, because they're all dressed in their local dealership garb, and they'll say, man, you know what? My bike got messed up, dude. You know, what's the deal? And they quickly defuse that and get away from it because the bike night ain't nothing about more than them putting on a bike night trying to get you to come to their dealership and buy a piece of chrome or whatever, or a motorcycle, whatever that is.
I got to stop you there because this at my shop, when you come in and you badmouth another shop in my shop, when there's other customers there, I have to ask you to stop right there, go outside, get on your motorcycle, ride back to that dealership and present your case. Do not come into my shop, another shop, and present your one side. I don't know the whole story. I try to be open-minded.
Right.
And in my shop, do not badmouth another shop. That's the way I feel about that. You know?
Well, I agree with you on that, Bill, because you're right. You don't know the other side of that story, man. So you're doing the ultimate right thing by freezing that in its place. It's one thing for somebody to say, man, what a drag. It's one thing for another guy to just rant about it. And I agree with you totally on that.
I'm not saying these guys don't get a good case. I'm just saying that, you know what, I ain't your psychiatrist. Don't come in and rant and rave on me and, you know, get your yayas out.
Right. Just give me your money for me fixing your bike and shut the frick up, right?
You charge extra for counseling. You know, I got a couple degrees. That's one of them. I could use that, you
know? That's it. There you go. I thought Philip was the counselor. I thought Philip was the actual counselor.
Yeah. Sometimes that hammer.
Boy, you upside down.
Yeah, I was going to say he holds the hammer, don't he?
Yeah.
Bill holds the wrench and Philip holds the hammer.
There you go.
No. No, sir. I am PR. In white Western shirts with pearl buttons. And people go, that's amazing. I go, no, not when you don't do any work. The only time they come to me, when's the problem? I'm there to solve the problems. I do not pay any of my employees enough money to deal with an irate customer. If a customer orders something up and because of UPS or because of back order, it doesn't come in on time, my counter people are not there to be bashed by customers.
Well, that's like,
my employees are there to come get me.
Yeah.
We'll discuss the situation. I'm not short-tempered, but I will not allow my employees to get bashed by customers.
It's like that lady that came and ran out of gas after you just changed the oil.
Yeah.
It was Bill's fault because she ran out of gas.
Ma'am, what does gas got to do with that? But that's my job. And, you know, once we talk about that, I'm usually able to get the customer to realize, hey, this happened. It wasn't deliberate. Logistical. They said the wrong part. But that's my job. I will not allow my employees, people I value as friends, put up with customers ratting them. I don't want my friends that work for me to go home at night and take that aggression with them. You leave the shop, you leave the shit behind you, I'll deal with it. Same way, I'd really not rather hear about your wife and kids and all those problems. Let's use our bike shop as sanctuary. But I've always felt that the customers should go to one person always if they're upset, and that's me right now.
And you know what? And that's the way, and that's why you've been in business for 30 years, and that's why you are who you are. And, you know, and it gets back to what we were originally talking about with, you know, what's happened with, you know, Harley got corporate. And I'm sorry, I'm not sitting here bashing them, and I'm not trying to get out of hand with it. I'm just saying I've seen it. I've seen it too many times, and I've actually been I've been part of it. I've been that guy that's had his bike set there for 4 weeks going, what the hell? You know, it doesn't take that long to rebuild the motor.
You know, Charlie, I've got a large room in the back full of used parts, takeoff parts, because we have Cam Pendleton and we have some also young guys. They'll drop the bike, bend the handlebars real bad, break the mirror, payday's not for 2 days. You and I have both been in a situation where we ain't got $20 till payday. It's the way it is. I got the wife to feed, the kids to feed. In the back room, the screwdriver will testify this, I will sell used parts penny on a dollar. I don't take this to swap meets. If the young military needs the bike for transportation, I will give the parts today. They can come back and pay me pennies on a dollar.
Or
right.
They will come, and this has been going on forever and a day. I haven't had to do it myself yet, but Bill knows I'd do it if I was in a situation. But they come back, and all they have to do, Charlie, grab the broom.
Yeah.
Clean up a little bit.
Wash a window. Move a bike.
I hear you, man.
Not giving charity to nobody. A lot of people's pride won't let them do it.
Right.
But if you can clean up an hour or two, then the parts I gave you, they're yours, brother. Now, there are times when I get authorized dealers come down to visit me, and they say, what is going on in that back room? And I explain that, and they go, my God, Bill, they're stealing from you every chance you get because I have no employees back there. And I say, you don't understand. How could they steal from me when I would give it to them if they needed it? You, on the other hand, you assume they're going to steal from you, and that's why they do steal from you. The new ideology of the dealerships in my shop, an old Frankenstein shop, I'm going by the wayside. I'm a grandfather. I'm going to be grandfathered out the door. The new corporate ideal does not want people like me, look like me. They don't want people to do business like me. I give you a ride home. I don't need money for gas. The dealerships don't want that. They want that, hey, just give us your money. Now, I agree with everything you're saying, Charlie. It really irks me because we are one of the last of the old school left. I know there's a few good shops out there, but I see it slipping every day.
Yep, and the good shops are suffering, a lot, I guess, because I don't know if there's, you know, the financing situation, and that's part of the economy where guys will go in and, you know, finance some work getting done, where, you know, the shops themselves really, you know, some of the good shops, you got to pay for it, you got to put it up.
Well,
and
you
go,
know, here's the thing. I had an issue, I'd say about 10 years ago. And I went in and I actually Bill was the one that was like, hey, this is what I want. When I seen it, I bought it because I told Bill, when I see what I want, I'm going to buy it. It just happened to be something that Bill was looking for at the time. And I got it and I rode it to the shop and he took it for a ride and came back and everything and congratulated me. But I sat there for 45 minutes. I had $10,000 cash in my hand. And the bike was 13 something, and they wanted to finance the rest. And I said, "Look, I'll give you this. You hold the bike. I won't tell you. You know the deal I'm talking about.
I know.
And I want you guys to hold the bike for me. But I'll give you $10,000 right now to hold the bike for me. I don't want to finance it. I want to pay that thing off. They come back 15 minutes later. They run my credit and everything. Said, well, we're going to give it to you for 3 years. $3,297 or something with tax and everything turned into going into almost $7,000 through Harley Credit.
Yeah. Now yeah, Harley Credit's a tough one, man. That's how they do it. They make their money.
Right.
You know, Charlie, I got to tell you, when Philip is, he's very firm in this. When Philip sees something he wants, he goes ahead. I can't tell you how many times we were down the Red Lake District in Tijuana. He sees the one he wants, he just grabs that one right there, you know? Man.
That's pretty funny.
Thanks a lot, brother.
Hey.
Friends. What would I do without friends? But everybody, I'm gonna unmute this caller, Charlie, so hold on 1 second. And then what I'm going to do is we're going to take a break. I'm going to play a song, and it happens to be one of Charlie's songs, Bill.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm going to talk to this caller, and I'm going to tell him we're going to go right after we come. We're going to bring her on right after we go to this, the song. Hello,
okay.
Caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Is that
Bill
me?
And Bill. Hello.
Is that me?
No. You're still muted. I mean, you're unmuted.
Hello.
I think this is Michelle, Bill.
Last time she was in a bad area up in the mountains, and we had a hard time picking her up.
Right. So it might be again. We'll try her in a minute. But what I'm going to do, Charlie and Art, if you want to hang on a minute, I'm going to play one of Charlie's songs. This song was great for today, the day we had today. Even though it was 100 degrees
it was
out,
hot today.
Even though it was 100 degrees out, it was 170 degrees on the steel where I was punching steel all day. But this is a great song, and it was in my head on the way home. So I'm Charlie, you're going to know as soon as you hear it, you'll know what it is. But it's called, for anybody that's listening, it's called Charlie. It's by Charlie Baker. It's
do we have authorization to play this song? What if he comes back from?
I
have sues us for taking his rights and all
okay,
that.
Okay, Charlie.
Have you talked to him?
Charlie, do I have authorization to play this song?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we'll be back. We'll be back right after the song, guys.
Desert air feels good on
nice. I like that.
You know, I don't know about you, Bill, but when I hear that song,
just wipe the tear from your eyes. It's okay. Man, I'm not a tear from my eyes, Bill.
Makes me want to go for a ride.
Well, we got the show to do. This is work.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying.
You know what I want to talk about? Our caller Michelle's going to come in, hopefully, in a minute or two, unless she's stuck up in the mountains again. They're talking about doing something with the House of Blues in the near future, next year.
Right.
As we start to expand and her rock to stop the violence, we got to hook Charlie up with these people, you know?
Right.
Charlie,
we can do that in a minute if she's on the phone.
Yeah. Charlie, you still out there?
Yeah, man. I'm hanging. I'm right here.
Okay. We were gone over the weekend. Screwdriver's up north, and I did an event in San Diego to stop the violence, and my speech was on domestic violence. It was on Stop All the Violence. And normally my speeches go for a long time, but I actually said something in there. Domestic violence was America's dirty little secret. And after the speech, I had three girls came up to me and said, Bill, I never told anybody, not my mother or my father, that a family member molested me. Since then, I had two more girls going on. We're going to take this event here, Rock to Stop the Violence, to another level next year. We've got a monster venue, and I'm hoping that we can, when she starts to spread, we can hook Charlie up here somehow.
Right. What I'm going to do is...
We were trying to find Michelle. Can you jump in anyway?
Yeah, I'm going
to
jump inside. Right,
she
here.
Was up in the mountains. I heard something about... Charlie, ask Michelle any questions if I can get her on.
Hello, here. Michelle. Are you there? Hello, Michelle. Not there.
I hear something.
She's unmuted, but... No, Charlie, I mean, you know, I got, like I told you before, you gave me some CDs and stuff. I passed them out. A lot of guys like them.
You passed them out to all your friends?
You got one, too.
Oh, okay. You got a, just checking to see if you forgot.
No, you got one, too.
I just see if you forgot.
No, everybody got them.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I really appreciate it.
I'm really hoping that next time I get Michelle on, I want somehow to cook up. I'm gonna dig one of Screwdriver's CDs, not give him my CDs up. I'll take one of his, pass it on to her. She and her daughter were victims of home invasion, and they were held for ransom, and it was all kind of crazy stuff. Rather than let this be something negative, she stopped this Rock to Stop the Violence, which initially was all the musicians, and now we're expanding it. Motorcycles come in?
Yeah,
okay, never mind. All right. Now we're expanding it to include these biker events and all that, so we got to see if we hook Michelle up with Chad directly.
She's been unmuted, and... They're listening, or they set the phone down or something, but he's been on.
Well, I've heard of that. I don't know anything about it personally, but I've definitely heard of, you know, Rock to Stop the Violence.
It's like
violence is like a giant octopus. One tentacle is
right. Child
abuse, one tentacle is of course bullying in schools, and then the tentacle that I was speaking about, my section, was the domestic violence. And I hadn't realized how many women out there, I didn't realize it until after I finished speaking, have been molested, have been abused, and they won't tell anybody about it. They're ashamed to tell their parents. And because of this inner shame, this inner pain, it pretty much self-destructs all the relationships. I was lucky enough that the event, after I was, you know, boring speaking, we had counselors there, so after I spoke to them, I hooked these girls up with counselors. But can you imagine holding the secret in for 10 years from your family and blaming yourself because you were violated or abused by a family member? No, that's wrong.
Well, that stuff is a very serious thing, and it definitely happens, and it's definitely a terrible, terrible thing, and the laws are set up to protect the abusers, that's for sure.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell any of the stories what happened. They're much too graphic, but each woman told me that since this happened, instead of refraining from sex, that they just use the sex to punish themselves, and they say they can't sustain a relationship. So we're going to go next year on a large scale, and I want Michelle to hook up somewhere. We can't get this time. We'll hook her up next time so these two can talk.
I mean, there's
I think Charlie would be good, yeah.
They're there, but they're not. I don't know if they're listening. It says they're listening, but
she said she wanted to call in.
Yeah, they're not answering the phone.
Well, did you pay your phone bill? No, Charlie's talking, so his phone bill. I didn't know.
All that love.
But, yeah, so where did you what dealership did you do you want to say Bill,
no.
Where was you at? No,
because
okay.
I don't want to say because the guy's pretty anal and he'll get upset that I dissed him on the radio and all that shit.
No, okay, well that's cool.
Yeah, but it's someone Bill knows. Bill can tell you.
You shouldn't have brought it up if you didn't want to say the whole story.
Well, no, I mean...
You shouldn't have brought it up if you didn't want to
okay.
say the whole story.
Okay,
Charlie. Now it's too late now.
No.
You ruined it. Charlie don't want to hear it.
Okay.
He's not interested.
Okay, Charlie,
You shouldn't have brought it up if you didn't want to say all the information.
No, okay, Charlie.
Charlie don't want to hear it now.
No, hey, Charlie.
You shouldn't have brought it up.
You played in the parking lot, Charlie.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
You know, some people think Screwdriver and I just argue on the radio.
I like the entertainment director of that one.
You know, I got something, I got an email the other day, and it's pretty good. What I'm going to do is, Charlie, you'll understand this when you hear it, but this is from the Commandant of the Marine Corps and the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps speaking. It's a tribute to the Marine Corps birthday.
It's coming up, you know.
Yeah, right here.
Has made it clear beyond all doubt
yeah.
that the international communist movement is willing to do armed invasion to conquer independent nations. An act of aggression such as this creates a very real danger to the security of all three nations.
For 235 years, Marines have fought and prevailed in every clime and place. From the wheat fields of Belleau Wood to the coral island of Pelaloon, from the hills around Pusan and the steamy jungles of Vietnam, to the deserts of Iraq and the river valleys of Afghanistan, there is one breed of warrior that has succeeded in the face of hardship and adversity, the United States Marine.
There are only two kinds of people who understand Marines. Marines and the enemy.
So it's true. Freedom is not free, so the United States Marine Corps will pay most of your share.
That's pretty good.
60 years ago, the Korean War began, and the Marine Corps waged one of the most savage campaigns in our history, the Battle at the Chosin Reservoir. As we pause to celebrate the first day of our Corps, we pay special tribute.
For those listening,
Marines,
this is Gerald James Amos, Commandant of
the
Marine Corps.
To our legacy. Throughout the history of our Corps, the United
Sergeant
States
Major
Marines have operated
Carlton
from
W. Kent,
to
Sergeant
Indiana.
Major of all Marine Corps.
Marines have always prevailed against our nation's foe in every clime and place. And that legacy continues today through warriors like you.
All I know is that I'm proud that even though I never went to boot camp, I can call myself a Marine.
He's also a Medal of Honor winner, Bill.
Some of the reserves that are coming in, some of them were corporals, but none of them had been through boot camp. And this is where I guess I'm pretty much a stickler for discipline. And the guy says, Lieutenant, you know, if this were stateside, a happier man would be over the hill. But the other hand will follow you to hell. And I say, well, everybody's going to follow me to hell.
Chinese attacked us, came across the field.
infantry units and attacked us with small arms.
Well, overrun every day and every night, but we held them back.
The guys were coming up the hill, and there were bodies all over the place, and the snow was blood red, and it was freezing cold. It was so cold. I would say that the cold was a blessing to me because I was wounded in so many different places. I would have bled to death had it not been for the cold coagulating your blood.
My impression by the Marines, I mean, they did a darn good job. I mean, we came out of there 70-some miles walking and bringing our equipment and majority of our dead and wounded. History shows that, that phrase out of the Marine Corps hymn, any climb, any place, is true. We did what had to be done. We learned fast, and we were effective.
Supported by Marine Air, the 1st Marine Division fought their way from the Chosin Reservoir some 78 miles south to the port of Hung Nam.
If it had not been for air support, we would not have gotten out of there. We always tell the single men for the married men because of how high they came in.
Of the nearly 15,000 Marines involved in the battle, over 4,400 were killed or wounded. The Chinese and North Korean forces suffered losses of over 37,000 men.
I did my duty. I protected my fellow Marines. They protected me. And I'm prouder of that than the fact that the government decided to give me the Medal of Honor.
The Chinese had the mission to annihilate the division, and they did not accomplish that. I can remember seeing artillery pieces with dead bodies wired on the barrel of the gun, like washed, taking them out of there to make sure that they got a decent burial. Just really impressed me. The Marines at the reservoir were Marines like in the Second World War. They were Marines like they were in the First World War. They were truly superb.
The Marines are good, huh? They get it done.
is our duty to go out and do the bidding for our nation when they call upon us.
So in 1775, Marines affords a legacy of warfighting excellence. Past and present, young and old, they keep faith with the traditions of our Corps and honor the memories of those who have gone before. As we look to the future, the Marine Corps will continue its role as America's expeditionary force and readiness. We will succeed our vital mission in Afghanistan. We'll respond to our nation's calling throughout the globe and reposture the Corps to meet the many challenges of the future. As we celebrate the 235th birthday of our Corps, we honor the heroes of the Korean War and salute the service of all Marines, past and present. And we appreciate the support and sacrifices of our families and friends. Happy birthday, Marines, and Semper Fidelis.
Hoorah!
Well said, well said, sir.
Was trying to get
rid of it. The only thing that spoiled that was Obama.
You know what's kind of really irritating is that we're talking about young men, and for the first time in American history, young women are over there fighting. And yet, when I read about the American corporations, the CEOs of these large corporations want to do more extended work with people like Communist China, Communist Korea. I have a simple message for you CEOs of your American corporations doing business with any anti-American country, any communist countries. And it's simple, gentlemen and ladies, CEOs, shame on you. It's not going to affect us. Screwdriver and I long be gone. It's our grandchildren. We have our young men and women fighting, and we have our CEOs of American corporations stabbing our boys in the back. That's how I feel about that.
I agree with that, Bill. I got to say, you know, I brought up my my friend, Captain Chambers, who is in Afghanistan right now for the United States Marine Corps. And on Halloween, I was asked to come out and perform at a great, great party way out in the boondocks of Tennessee. And our friends, many of our friends that were there, are from the U.S. Army base up here in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And they're helicopter pilots. Every one of them deployed. We partied all night long. And they're gone. Right now, they're fighting the war in Afghanistan, flying those choppers. So I know plenty of them right now in there, man, and I feel for them. And it's hard. It's hard to sit there and wake up the next day with my hangover and go, wow, man, where the hell am I at? What did I do? And these guys are already, you know, heading out. They're deployed.
Charlie, I'd like to say a moment, too. We know that our sons and daughters are over there fighting, but I'd like to send this message out to all the families that have been left behind, all the women who are their husband's overseas, the washing machine is broke, the car is broken, they're sleeping alone. The women that are raising the children while the husband's overseas, we don't include them enough. They're heroes to me, too.
I've seen a bunch of it, man. I've done a little bit of music in some of the clubs that are close to the base over here, the Army base, and I've seen and heard the guys standing right there. We stayed up all night long one night, Sonny and I did. We played a bar up by the Army base up there, Fort Campbell. And we stayed up all night long drinking with a couple of the guys who just got back and had spent much time in Iraq, and Afghanistan. And we had a long conversation about stuff. And, you know, honestly, they enlightened me a lot about what's going on over there, but their personal struggles here in America with their own families is ridiculous. You know, one of these young men is getting divorced. He's losing his wife. He's losing his family. Because of his service, because of, you know, things, and it's difficult. It's difficult to hear that, you know. It's difficult to hear anything. But I guess I could much more relate to a guy who says, "Oh man, you know, I'm over there, and my buddies are getting shot or whatever the situation is," and you're hearing his pain from that. No, that's not the pain they're talking about. They're talking about the pain right here at the house.
Right. You got to have a strong family base to exist. You can't do it. Well, Screwdriver and I are down at the VA hospital. Like I said, not only our sons, our daughters are coming back. And I speak to a lot of the women. They say, Bill, look at me. I'm missing an arm. I'm missing a leg. Bill, look at my face. What man's going to go out with me? And they say, the women can see a man missing an arm or a leg, and they can see a whole man. But we men are so shallow that unless the girl looks like Barbie, we're not going to date them. Our whole concept is we want a beautiful, beautiful woman. A woman can see a man missing an arm or leg. She can see a full man. But these women, our daughters, our mothers, our cousins, our sisters, they're coming back disfigured. And it is really embarrassing for Americans. We're not used to seeing our women coming home disfigured. That's causing a whole new psyche set of problems.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's a terrible, terrible thing. And, you know, I don't know what anybody's going to be able to do about it. I hate to cut everything short, but I've got to go, man. I've got to get ready for 9 days in North Carolina. And we're leaving in the morning. And Tanya's cooked up some food, and we got a pack and all this good stuff. And we're going to go over there and have a great time.
Anyone from the road next?
Oh, yeah, man. I'll hit you up from the road. I've got to play somewhere next Thursday from what it seems right now. But I will definitely we'll be out there. You know, the computer will be rolling, and I'll definitely have my phone on me. So we're
looking
forward to a
good luck.
Time. And
Michelle, don't forget that rock to stop
man.
The violence. We're going to catch up with that somewhere, okay, pal?
Yeah, I really want to be part of that, man, and I really appreciate you thinking of me, and I'll be thinking of you guys all next week.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. Take care, brother. See ya. Bye.
Bye now. Well,
the caller,
good guy, Charlie.
Yeah, that caller's still unmuted, Bill, but we haven't got any on who it is.
For me?
The person calling from 583, are you on the line?
Yeah, that's me right now.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
And this is who?
This is Jason.
How you doing, Jason?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Not bad.
Okay, Jason, what do you want to talk about tonight?
I just want to, well, first of all, I want to thank you guys for letting me have a chance to speak to you guys again. And I had a good time over at your place, Bill, and it was good meeting you, Screwdriver. And it was great meeting Michelle and Chrissy with that, to rock to stop the violence. That was a good opportunity for us to meet with them, and I really enjoyed. Hopefully, Carol and I gave a little bit of assistance and help
right.
in any way that we could.
Tell us a little
but
bit about your program, what you're doing. Can you give us a little nutshell? We know your event's not until November 13th. Is that correct?
Yes, it does. And,
tell us a little bit about your event for people hearing it for the first time,
well,
please.
It's also going to start out at Smitty's in downtown Vistaville.
Is your
right.
Am I talking to you?
No, go ahead.
Why you got to jump in? I'll ask the man to talk. He's always stepping on everybody. Please tell us what's going on.
That's all right. Hey, we're having a poker run that's going to be for Sammy Center, which the poker run, the proceeds is going to go to helping military families with special needs children in the San Diego, North County area. Well, actually, all of San Diego County. We're just trying to raise some funds. We're trying to get the Sammy Center going so that we can start helping people that need the help. The poker run is going to be, like you said, on November 13th. It starts at, well, registration starts at 10, but we want to hold the bikes until 11 o'clock, first bike out. It's going to start at Smitty's in Vista. And I did hear you earlier mention that it is going to be at 5 bars. And that's not an indicator that we want anybody to drink. We don't want anybody to drink and drive. That was just purely logistics for our first run. But it's probably not going to be at 5 bars next year. So,
listen, you got some good advice from a mutual friend of ours. Tell us who that is, please, will you? Guy who works down at Smitty's.
Oh, talk about Randy. He's
yeah.
Randy, the president.
He's with also, please.
Yeah, he's the president of the Geezers, and Randy's been a great guy. He's been working with us a lot as far as getting working with Kelly, the owner of Smitty's, and getting us food set up and getting us putting us in contact with people for the PA systems, and he's been incredible in helping us out. And we got a couple of other people that were asking to join on. We're going to have another guy, a different guy named Randy. He's going to be doing detail work on motorcycles out there. If you want to have your bike clean before or after the event, he's going to be setting up. We got the Eagle Young Marines. They want to do a color guard at the beginning of the event. It's going to be fun. And all the money's going to go to...
It's going
to
be Saturday... I don't have the timer from me. And then I see it down here. Was it registration 10 o'clock? And everybody's back by about 4 o'clock?
Right. We want the registration. It goes between 10 and 11. We want to try to put the first bike out at around 11. And we're hoping that everybody comes back before 4 p.m. so that we can get the food prepared and ready to go by then.
So one of the things I meant to explain to you last time, and I slipped my tongue, was anyway you can reach the local newspapers, North County Times, and see if you get them doing a little blurb about what you're doing before the event. And also
I
get the venues.
Yep.
Go ahead, please.
I'm sorry to talk over you. I did reach out to the North County Times, and I sent them a little thing of what we're doing, and I'm kind of still waiting on a response back from them. But, yeah, sent it out. This being our first big event, first fundraiser, we're learning a lot. I think next year we're going to have a lot more organized, a lot more coordinated. Everything that you and Screwdriver and Randy and everybody's telling us and saying, believe me, we're writing it down. We're keeping notes for next year on how to make this event better. And it's amazing to me the support that we've been getting from you guys. Not once have you looked at us like we're a couple of newbies that you don't want to have the time to help. Everybody's just been fantastic in supporting this.
Yeah, you're up on. I just put Sammy Center the link in the chat room.
Cool, appreciate that. Thank you. And you know if the one
you're also on a link in the.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said you're also on a link in the blog also, but I understand you're going to have prizes and stuff, and maybe you want to explain a little bit about that.
Yeah, we've had a lot of support from the local community. We got gift certificates from places like Texas Lil's, Outback Steakhouse, Famous Dave's Barbecue. Slap and Leather up in Temecula has given us some gift certificates. We got a bunch of T-shirts and stuff from Quade's, Harley-Davidson in Temecula, as well as Biggs, Harley-Davidson in San Marcos. We got a bunch of different little things like that we're going to be giving away. We don't know exactly, because we're still getting prizes in, people are still trying to support us and giving us giveaways. So we don't know exactly what we're going to end up with at the end, but we're rolling in with a lot of different gifts and gift certificates and Harley-Davidson gear and stuff like that we've been being supported.
Jason, let me interrupt you for a second. Can you tell us a little bit about what was the impetus for you to get started? What made you decide this is something I want to do, or you and your wife to do it? Tell us about your background, if you would, so our listeners can hear, please.
Sure. I'm an active-duty Marine Corps. I've been in for 16 years. My wife, she works for a local developer in California, and when we had our children, we decided to have kids here in California, and it's about 6 months old. The first one, she's 2 years old now, but about 6 months old, the first one developed severe cerebral brain damage, and we don't know why it happened. We don't know what happened. And we were told that it would be safe to have another child because this one thing that happened to this girl is will never happen again. So we had another child, and when that girl was 6 months old, the same exact kind of brain damage occurred to her. So now I have two severely disabled but completely beautiful children. And we had some problems. We had some difficulties when it came down to getting services that we needed in place while they were still being diagnosed. Because once they are diagnosed as being disabled or handicapped, then we get services from the state or from the military. But when there's this huge gap between getting things figured out and getting things in place, where you're kind of left out on your own, and the thing that I have written down, it seems that this is it's expensive, it's heartbreaking, and it's time consuming. So these three things, we're trying to fill that gap with at least helping people out by getting things done for them, helping them out with money, and helping them out with not having to for over and over retelling the story to 7 or 10 different organizations that are trying to do intake. We want to bring some of that with compassionate services. And so we started this company. It's a 501c nonprofit. It's a goal. It's compassionate services to help these people through their hardships. And that's what we're doing the fundraisers for, is to get those funded, to get those programs in place.
Let me ask you a question here. You and your wife, you said you have both employed. You're a Marine. She works for a contractor, I believe you said. And you have a couple of kids.
Yes.
When do you get a minute extra to try to put this on? I mean, it sounds like your life is so full now. Am I understanding that you're doing this because you're trying to help other people that so they can understand how to deal with the problem better? Is that kind of gist of everything?
Yes. We are running 1,000,000 miles an hour. We're running this entire event on our own. Carolyn is doing, she started the charity on her off hours. And so she's been working every waking hour between her work and this charity. It's been completely, we've been going 100 miles an hour just trying to get this taken care of. Because, you know, and we don't take any money from this. Not a single penny do we get from this charity or from these fundraisers, because we've already suffered most of the pain and embarrassment and uncomfortableness and money loss in the beginning, and we want to be able to prevent that from happening for other people now. And it is time-consuming. We do go 100 miles an hour. We have a great support from, we have nurses at home. We have an older daughter, Bethany. She's 17. She's getting ready to go into the Marine Corps. That's what she wants to do. Incredible support from her. We're getting support from the family and the community. It's very helpful.
If you leave the state, do you think you'll be able to put together a committee to continue on as you go to a different state? What if you have to get packed up and leave tomorrow? Have you given any thought to that, or are you stationed pretty much permanent here in San Diego?
Well, because of what happened with my daughter, I actually had orders to go to Okinawa just very recently, and because we're part of the Exceptional Family Member Program on Camp Pendleton, and the severity of having two disabled children like this, the Marine Corps was kind enough to move me to a non-deployable unit very recently. I'm actually going to get ready to move over in January to an non-deployable unit so that I can stay home and finish up my career and support my wife. There's no way that one person can handle what's going on with our children. And the state of California is probably, politics aside, because I don't like any of the politics in California, I think it's the worst state for that, but the services that they provide for handicapped children are phenomenal. And so California is probably where we're going to stay no matter what because of the fantastic services for handicapped children, and there's a need, and we're here to help, and we're going to stay here to fulfill that need. So I'll be staying. You know, I'll be retiring here, and we're going to maintain this company, and this charity is going to be here, and hopefully we're going to be here forever.
So you think this run here coming up is going to be like the cornerstone for your organization here? What if you get tired? What if you just give up? Do you think you're going to stick this out and try to make this event grow, make more people aware of what you're doing?
We have to. We have to do this. We're going to get tired without a doubt, but we have our two beautiful daughters. They have to have a name in this world. Carolyn and I, you know, my family essentially will end at this point if I don't have a legacy to follow. You know, you see, your children are your legacy. Well, my children's name is going to be the legacy, and my children are going to be able to help in their name, because SAMI Center, S-A-M-I, stands for Sophia and Madeline's Impact, in their name, they're going to be able to continue on helping families forever into the future. So that's going to be their legacy. That's going to be my family legacy. So it's that important to me and Carolyn.
You were talking about your two special, beautiful children, but you also mentioned you had a 17-year-old daughter going in the Corps. How involved is she in this program here? Because now she should be able to speak to younger people. Is she still letting you guys do most of it, or is she getting involved with your program, your organization?
She's not involved in the organization so much, but what she is involved in is educating her peer group on special needs brothers and sisters, and which is fantastic because we're going to be pulling her into more, like, when people come to us and have children her age, she will be the ones that we want to talk. She'll be the one that we want to talk to that group. Right now, we're dealing mostly with very, very young children, but they have brothers and sisters, and they don't understand what's happening to them, and she's the perfect person to talk to because she's very involved in their daily care as well, so she knows how to deal with disabled children. She knows how to, you know, to talk to people who don't understand what it's like to have you know, a brother or a sister in this condition, and she's the perfect advocate for that peer group.
I love the fact that she's able to come in and speak to other children, other families. So if you have one or two special a child, there's other children, your daughter would be the perfect one to go in and speak to them about some of the special needs they have and how they have to get more active and all that. I think you get a tremendous asset by having that 17-year-old daughter there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. She's helped us out so much. And we love you, Bethany. She's listening right now inside the house. And
we got that 80-mile tour of North Counties. Have you picked out any gas stations someone's pointing out to me? Or are you going to remind everybody before they leave to ass up?
You know what I did was I kind of chose that mileage because I know that even the smallest peanut tank on a Sporty would probably be able to at least push 90 miles. So I was hoping that we wouldn't have to do any gas station stops. But right there, I don't, you know, to be honest, Bill, that's a fantastic question because I don't know any right by the Sonic and where Smitty's is, if there's a gas station right there by the Krikorian Theater, which is probably – the major landmark for everybody to understand where this is all starting. I don't know of any gas stations right there, but I'm sure there have.
That's one of the things, when you get to the event start, remind everybody before you leave, you need to gas up and look on the route what's the first gas station they can come to. If I can make a suggestion now, you're sending people off in what, groups of twos and threes and ones? You're not going to send everybody off in one big group, are you?
That's correct. Like I heard you talking about the runs earlier where they stretched from the coast to 15 without a single stop. No, I don't want to have a mass formation. I want people to tool around, enjoy the weather, have fun, ride their bikes, and do what they want to do. Just hit your points and go on your own. It's a complete individual effort. Once 1100 or 11 o'clock hits and you just want to go, enjoy your ride. I'm not going to ask anybody to stick together. But if there's people who don't know the area, if there's people who are unsure of where they're going or are by themselves and would like to meet other people, talk to somebody, shake their hand, ask them if you can, you know, scoot with them. That's what we're here for, is to meet each other and meet other bikers and have a good cause.
So if anybody breaks down, are you going to have a chase truck?
All the hard questions. I knew I should have thought of this before you guys.
Called education.
I never thought of that. Yeah, that's. I'll make sure I write that one down again for next year. We'll figure something out.
I'd like to ask you also to perhaps ask Randy, as the bikers are coming in, have Randy perhaps take a peek at their bikes. If they got bad tires, bald tires, the bikes are leaking, point that out that you do not think this is a real safe vehicle. This is America, they have a right to go where they want to go. But in a very vague sense, your responsibility to tell them, you know, this is a bit dangerous for your vehicle. You don't want them to go out and say, well, I crashed and all that, and somebody should have said something. You're not legally bound to, but if he could take a peek at the tires and take a look at the bikes and say, this is, your bike needs work, be careful on the run. You're at least avoiding that problem.
Wait, that will do. like when there's a run from Bills to go somewhere, Otis will walk outside and check the bikes out and let people know.
I don't want to put one person with a bad motorcycle hooked up with three or four people that have got very good bikes and have them have an accident. I have,
right.
I'm not suggesting you this, I have pulled people out and said, if you want to go on an event, you're going to be like the last one to go. I do not want you riding in a group because your motorcycle is not safe, and that's how I feel. You can hang back at the end and go by yourself, but I don't want you riding in the group and cause a possible accident.
Yep, I agree. I've
but if you
that
do out. That, I don't like you, so deal with that.
Yeah, I'm not here to, like you said, people are going to do whatever they want to do. I'm going to make them sign a waiver. I'll definitely tell them we don't want any trouble, we don't want any problems. It's here for fun, and if somebody's going to be dangerous or mess it up, you know, and I think somebody, who told me, I'm not your minister and I'm not your mama. Who I don't remember who told me that.
That's one of Bill's famous ones.
Listen, this is not a popularity contest, buddy. You got a job to do. Mama told me that too.
All right, now. Yeah, I got to take off. I got to take care of these little babies that are in the house. They probably want to either go to bed or get fed or something.
Yeah, give us a call next week and we'll go through this again.
All right. If your wife and daughter feel like they want to jump in next week, say something. Bring them in. So we're going to push the event everywhere we can.
Awesome. I appreciate it, guys.
All right,
really
buddy.
Do.
Thanks for stopping in my shop. I'm glad I got to know you, pal.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Later, guys.
So what we're going to do, Bill, we'll close this out with your favorite song.
My favorite song. Hope everybody enjoyed tonight's show.